When was the last time you attended a festive party? Maybe a wedding or a graduation from school? Certain occasions in life call for extravagant celebration. For example, after rebuilding the wall around their city, Nehemiah and Ezra led their people in an elaborate ceremony to thank God for his faithfulness. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll describes the details of this epic party and the parallel applications for today. If you missed any portion of our study, we'll begin with helpful highlights. Chuck titled his message, "Happiness is a Walk on the Wall."
Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, there is a renewed vision, though there is not a renewed scene physically. It's still rather bleak. The wall is finished, broad, stable, strong, well-constructed, well-engineered, well-designed. They are led to dedicate this project to God. The passage says in verse 27, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites. Who would be the they of this verse? Well, verse 26 tells us, Nehemiah and Ezra. And so it says in the 27th verse that they sought out the Levites from all their places. But there is more than that. Will you notice the process, that is, the preliminaries as they were underway? It says that they found the Levites, they brought them into Jerusalem that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness. But there's more than singing. I want you to notice something very important in verse 30. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves. And they also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Okay, now let's move ahead to the procedure. Here's where it gets really happy. Verse 31 talks about choir number one. Verse 38 talks about choir number two. Now picture it in your mind. Verse 31. Then I had the leaders of Judah. The I is Nehemiah. It's an autobiography, the book of Nehemiah. I had the leaders of Judah come up on top of the wall. Now, that had to be a unique experience. And I appointed two great choirs. The first one proceeded to the right on top of the wall toward that gate down at the bottom of the city, the refuse gate. And then verse 38, the second choir proceeded to the left while I followed them with half of the people on the wall. Now, Ezra was in choir number one, as we read in verse 32 or 33. He was there with that group. Nehemiah linked himself with the second choir. So we have Ezra on one side, Nehemiah on the other side, and the beginning of the tuning up of the instruments and the choirs on top of the wall. Verse 43, on that day, what day? The day of celebration, the day of dedication, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Now, there right now are three things by way of application I'd like to share with you from these verses so far. And I think they are so relevant and appropriate, we're not going to wait until the end to apply it. I want to apply three of those things now and then one more before we leave from the message this morning. First of all, I want to make this comment. An atmosphere of happiness should surround God's people every time we are together. There's another area. Music is one of the most expressive ways of communicating happiness. And I find when they looked for a way under the Levites' direction to lead out in this wonderful day of rejoicing, they landed on music. Music is one of the best ways or most expressive ways to communicate happiness. Now, let me ask you something. Have you stopped singing? You maybe are very familiar with Ephesians 5:18, which says, be filled with the Spirit. But do you know what verse 19 says? The result of the filling of the Spirit is a heart that overflows with melody. He sings from the heart as a result of being filled with the Spirit. Let's think about areas where we can be singing. Sing when you first get up in the morning. Oh, that'll hang some of you up for the rest of the message. But early in the morning is when you set the pace for your day. Sing as a teacher when you think through your lesson plan. Sing as a salesman or saleswoman when you think through the possibility. And when God gives you the sale, sing to Him and thank Him for it. Sing in your car. Sing with your marriage partner. Sing with your roommate. Sing with your family. We used to, when I was back in school, the walls in our apartment were so paper thin that I used to sing in harmony with the guy in the shower next to me there. He and I would sing together, and he'd get off, and I'd say, get back on again, and he'd say, it's my song, and I'd say, well, I'm joining in on it, you know, back and forth. Always made me wonder what else they might hear, you know, with those thin paper walls. Sing to your little baby. David Roper, one of the fine assistants up at Peninsula Bible Church, raised by a godly mother, Harlan Roper's dear wife. Dave says, as far back as I can remember, even when I was getting out of a crib, getting into my own bed, I remember having her lean over to me and sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. She taught me a mighty fortress is our God. Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the Savior's brow. Says, I learned them on my back when my mother was singing me to sleep. Mothers, have you stopped singing? When you sing, your kids will sing at the most unbelievable times. I had little Chucky, our smallest 4-year-old, sitting in one of these little grocery store, you know, weapons that you put them in at the time. And we came up to the check stand to check out and had a few things to check out. And for some strange reason, everything was very quiet. Usually it's noise in the din of activity, but it was kind of quiet. And he reached over and grabbed a handful of mints, and while he was trying to unwrap one and all, he began to sing, Jesus loves me this I... Everybody kind of looked at him. And so he was, for the... And then one woman said, go ahead, tells me so. Then the girl said to me, do you know Christ as your Savior? I said, yes, I do. She says, I've been a Christian about 1.5 years. Isn't that interesting? Little child led us into a great opportunity to encourage her heart. She's quite disturbed right now with a broken marriage. And he just came out with a song just in that moment of time. Don't stop singing. Sing this afternoon. Sing tonight. One of the most exuberant expressions of a happy heart is a singing mouth. But there's one other thing I want you to notice. A joyful spirit will have far-reaching effects. What was it that reached afar, verse 43? Was it the song? No. Look again. What was it that reached out beyond the wall to the people outside? It says, the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. That encourages me. People don't hear the lips and the words. They hear the joy of the heart. That's what they hear. They see you and they witness in you a joyful spirit. They don't say, oh, you sing tenor. Or, hey, I learned that song some time ago. That's not what speaks. What reaches afar is the joy of the heart. And when the people surrounding Jerusalem, and I think of those that weren't willing to move into the city, but said, we're going to stay in these nice plush places and have our own way, I think they must have thought, man, oh man, we are missing some things that are going on in there. I have worked just a little bit at times in my schooling and earlier ministry with rescue missions. Time and time again, I have heard men say, what touched me was what was going on in there and the emptiness in my life. It wasn't the signs, it wasn't necessarily the preacher or the singer or the meal. There was something about it that drew those losers and failures inside. And I'll say to you, you really struggle for opportunities for witness. Perhaps one of the reasons it is such a struggle is the lack of joy in your life. I have yet to see a joyful Christian who's not on the front lines witnessing about Jesus Christ. They go together. But I can point out a handful of cranky, ornery Christians who have yet to speak their first word for Christ to a stranger. It goes hand in hand. Well, in conclusion, they dedicated themselves, verse 44. And it reached two areas. First of all, the contributions of their money, and second, the consecration of their lives. Verse 44, on that day, just like verse 43 begins, on that day, this wasn't the next day, this was the same day, men were appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions required by the law for the priests and Levites. Now, wait a minute. In those days, they were required by the law to shell out their cash. These people were rejoicing. So what was their attitude toward obedience to the law? Well, look at the last sentence in verse 44. Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who served. I've said several other things result from a joyful spirit. I'll say another thing, a generous pocketbook. You get a Christian rejoicing, and there's nothing he wants to hang on to. You turn him into a negative, selfish, critical individual, and the last thing he wants to turn over to somebody else is his wealth. It is remarkable how a joyful spirit will result in the longing to give, to give, to give, without resentment. They rejoiced because they had priests and Levites to whom they might contribute. Their obedience was a source of joy. Verse 45, they performed the worship of their God and the service of purification together with the singers and the gatekeepers. And it goes right on to say how they were singing praise and hymns of thanksgiving, and there was consecration in the life. In the last part of this chapter reads like a fairy tale, and they lived happily ever after. I want to write over these verses. They moved into a realm of joy, and as a result from this background music, I sort of get that from verse 45. As they were giving, back behind the scenes were the singers. And they sang, the gatekeepers, and they gave themselves in song to the things of God. It all blended together in a perfect balance. There's a fourth area of application right now I want to share. Happiness is not to be dependent on outward circumstances, but upon inward focus. When you have focused correctly, take or leave the outward circumstances, you can sing right through it all and rejoice in it all. You know why I say that? Because at the end of this chapter, their circumstance has not changed one bit. Still under Persian authority, an unbeliever, living in a city filled with rubble, no houses, no beautiful landscape, only a wall. Opposition still very present. Right in the middle of chapter 13, opposition springs up again. So they weren't away from opposition and criticism. But in spite of those circumstances, they were optimistic. Now, let me say something in conclusion, because I think perhaps this pulpit should speak a word regarding our national situation. Our country has experienced an unprecedented flow of events within the last several months. I am not going to take it upon myself to represent anybody's opinion, nor even to state my own. I simply want to deal in what I believe to be a scriptural way of viewing what has happened. There are before us the challenges of a people of God like never before. We can succumb, become lost in the failures or unfair dealings of the past, or we can become completely unconcerned about the present and the future. Neither way, am I convinced, would be the will of God. But we have our work cut out for us as Christians who are citizens of the United States of America. We have a deep and abiding responsibility to pray for the one that God places over us. Now, the secret of the daily happiness of the Christian cannot be dependent upon the leader over us. It must be upon a daily contact with and love for the Lord Jesus Christ and making Him preeminent over all. When He is, we are terribly burdened to pray daily for good men. We are responsible as a flock of God. And let me say to you, if you are looking to them to give you happiness and delight, you will be looking in vain. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. Blessed is the person who trusts in God. When you trust in the living God and you count on Him for daily provision, constant guidance, and He as the source of your happiness, you will never trust in vain. You have never met His Son, the Lord Jesus. You will never find happiness within. Never be able to focus on Him in real joy until you've made that decision.
This is a quiet moment for all of us to think back on what we have heard today. It's been a scene of great celebration, joy, and singing, and rejoicing over the things of God and the accomplishment of God's people. What a great place music plays. What a great part praise plays in all our lives. But it occurs to me that some of you may not entertain much music within your hearts. The music has gone away because there is a vacuum and an emptiness that you can't seem to fill with the right things. You've tried them all. Well, it's time to turn to God. Let me just tell you straight out. You're never going to know what life's purposes are without Christ living within your hearts. And if nothing else, today has created within you a thirst for the joy and the pleasures that has been missing. But it can only be filled with the person of Jesus. And right now, right this moment, I invite you to take Him into your life. Just receive Him. Take Him in. It may be that you've done that, but the joy is left because you have walked away from the Lord. but it's time to come back. As you return to Him, the song will return to your soul. If we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. And the best part of that is He will restore the relationship with Him, the fellowship that was destroyed some time ago through your carnal, selfish acts. Just claim His forgiveness right now. He wants you back in. Father, thank You for the lessons learned today. Thank You for the pleasure of song and the magnificent role music plays, not only in Your Word, but in our world and in our souls. Thank You for giving us a reason to sing the joy of loving hearts for Jesus, our Savior, our magnificent Lord. Thank You for Him. Thank You for a relationship with You through Him that has brought back the song, without which the day seems never to end. We're grateful today that You have provided us Your truth, and we pray that as a result of our absorbing it, it'll make a difference in the way we live, the way we think, even the way we sing. I ask this in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.
And with Chuck Swindoll's prayer, we come to the end of message number 15 in a 16-part study of Nehemiah. Chuck titled this series, Hand Me Another Brick, Timeless Lessons on Leadership. Stay with us because Chuck is in the Insight for Living studio to share a personal comment with you. But first, if you'd like to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. If you're looking to bless one of your friends or family members with a special touch of God's grace, remember that Insight for Living provides access to a wonderful online store. Some of the smaller items would make thoughtful gifts just because, but there's also a variety of other options that are more substantial, and even some ideas for the little ones in your life. To learn what's available to you right now, just go online to insight.org. While you're there, don't forget that our current study in Nehemiah is available as a downloadable audio file. All 16 messages are in stock. Just ask for the series called Hand Me Another Brick when you call. If you're listening in the U.S., call 800-772-8888. You know, it's not the sale of CDs and other resources that fuels Insight for Living. Instead, this nonprofit ministry is entirely supported by the voluntary contributions from friends like you. In fact, your generous giving has enabled us to elevate and proclaim God's grace to an ever-growing audience. And that's the way it's been since our earliest days.
From our very first broadcast in 1979 until now, Insight for Living has stayed on mission. Here's what I mean by that. We have refused to succumb to what's popular. We don't pick the hot topic of our day and then try to locate a verse that will support our opinion. No, that's not our style at all. From day one, we have followed a simple and far better formula. We teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter after chapter. There's a fancy phrase for this. It's known as expository preaching. This discipline has never betrayed me. Every day on Insight for Living, we simply read what God has said in His Word, and then we declare His truth to others. Along the way, He gives His grace to follow what He says. I remember visiting Dr. Clyde Cook's office back when he was the president of Biola University. On his desk, Clyde displayed a little sign I always took the time to read. It read, "I don't know the secret of success, but I do know the secret of failure. Try to please everyone." At Insight for Living, it's not our mission to please everyone. We teach the whole counsel of God's Word, which, gratefully, is laden with His love and grace. And thankfully, over the years, we've made a few friends like you, people who share our passion for God's truth and who, like me, cling to God's grace. So now it's time to give Him our thanks. and I can think of no better way to do that than investing in His work. In these final weeks of the year, we will receive voluntary gifts from people like you. The stakes are high. Our world needs grace as never before. But as we reach or perhaps even exceed our goal before December 31, Insight for Living will be postured to tell more and more unsuspecting people about the wonders of God's marvelous grace. Would you be especially generous at this time of the year? Would you reach deeply into your life and into your bag of gratitude and pull out a large donation for Insight for Living? We would be so grateful. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for being generous. Remember, God's grace is all we need.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. Perhaps the quickest and most efficient way to give is by going to insight.org/donate. To speak with one of our friendly ministry reps, call us. If you're listening in the U.S., call 800-772-8888. Or give a donation online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us again next time when Chuck Swindoll talks about taking problems by the throat, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Happiness is a Walk on the Wall, was copyrighted in 1974, 1983, 1990, 2007, and 2016. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.